everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, along with producer Rosemary Brad. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. Of course, it's a day of remembrance and mourning in the Netherlands as the first remains of the 198 Dutch citizens killed in that Malaysian airline shootdown last week returned today to their homeland. Very moving ceremony and moment of silence, actually a full minute of silence throughout the Netherlands. And for the Netherlands people, this is a huge deal. Percentage-wise of the population, the 198 people killed in the shootdown of that jetliner is really more than the citizens that were killed in the World Trade Center attack. So this has been a really big deal. We are live here on the Buckmaster Show each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our podcasts and really all of our show archives are available for you anytime at buckmastershow.com, so you can hear our program wherever you are in the world. I want to tell you about a benefit before we get on to the show today. This is something, Clips for Kids. This will be benefiting children's cancer research. It's a very worthwhile event. This will be coming up on Sunday, August 17th, 2014. Sports Clips Haircuts have a goal to raise $10,000 to benefit children's cancer research. With the goal of $10,000 being met, the owner of three Sports Clips show stores, Shanine Uraeus, will actually shave her head, shave it bald, in solidarity with the children of our community with cancer. And that event is going to be again on Sunday, August the 17th. So check out the participating stores and donate to Clips for Kids today. That a very worthwhile event. Upcoming here on the Buckmaster Show today, we'll be talking with Sharon Bronson very shortly. Miss Bronson is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We have a lot to discuss with her over the next half hour. Coming up at 12:30, Barbara Brown will be with us talking about community animal welfare groups getting together to do something about the overpopulation of cats, especially the feral cats in our community. And then we'll close out the show at 12:45. We will have Bob Hendricks with us. Dr. Hendricks will be talking about, are we starting our school day too early? Some new research shows that the kids just really aren't at their best at these really early hours of the day. So that will be interesting to talk with him about that. And we'll be talking, of course, with Sharon Bronson very shortly here on the Buckmaster Show. Also want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show website has our complete list of all of the guests who are appearing on our program. We also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show by going to our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, and it's easy to find right there. And we may be having Sharon Bronson on at 12:30. Is that what I thought we were talking about? 12 o'clock for her, but maybe there has been a mix-up in time. Oh, we are ready with Sharon right now. Okay. Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. Hello, Sharon.
Good afternoon.
I want to talk a little bit about the situation with Hud Bay, the Toronto, Canada-based mining company, now in control of the proposed Rosemont mine. The chair of Hud Bay was in town last night to speak with several dozen Tucson business leaders. Unlike Augusta Resource Corporation, which launched the Rosemont plan 8 years ago, Hud Bay has deep pockets, Sharon, and says it is in this for the long term. Of course, the community is deeply divided early on the Board of Supervisors came out against the mine. Will this change anything in your opinion?
Obviously, we have a player, as you have already said, Bill, with deep pockets who can wait. And I think that is a game changer. But the board still, as of several weeks ago, remains opposed, the majority of the board, actually relating to issues with mitigation and the whole issue of water and where the withdrawals and where the recharge is going to be. So in my view personally, and I can't speak for other board members certainly, unless there is a meeting of minds on those issues, I think the board will remain opposed. And I don't know that there is a way to have the minds meet on these so that we can get the water that is withdrawn replenished in the same basin. So we'll see as this moves forward, but certainly, HUD Bay has much greater resources than did Rosemont. So we'll see what happens.
But as far as you're concerned, it's just a change at the top, and it's still the same plan, pretty much.
At this point, it is. We'll see as HUD Bay moves forward what will occur. But what we do know, as we compare the two companies, Augusta and HUD Bay, I think HUD Bay has a more egregious track record in terms of environmental pollution and dealing with their employees. There have been some serious allegations and actually record of serious contamination where they have mined in the past. So that's something obviously we are going to be concerned about.
Sharon Bronson is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We had a lot of, I think there's been a lot of people who are very confused, Sharon, about the whole issue over the soccer fields, that money was taken, millions of dollars taken away from fixing our roads to go to this new soccer field complex. You want to set the record straight for our listeners on that?
Yes, there was no money taken from roads. We need to have a conversation about roads and how we pay for them, obviously, at some point. But the monies that was used for the initial down payment for the soccer field was from a budget surplus of this past year ending June 30th. And what we know is that the National Recreation and Parks Association standards allocate one soccer field per $1,000 per 1,000 residents. And what also follows from that is we're not even close to that. So there is a need for those soccer fields. And I think the other confusion, Bill, is that this is about pro soccer. I think the Keno Stadium is about pro and amateur soccer. But what we're talking about with these soccer fields is youth soccer for the most part, recreational. And we know from the studies that have been done and pretty much the data that's been collected over time that these fields, if you can have the tournaments, are an amazing and economic boon to the community. So we'll see as we move forward, but I think the other piece is, as we move forward, we're looking for a public-private partnership. I think the term of art these days is P3, so that it's not just about the county putting money in, but that we've got a private partner, much like we did in Flowing Wells with the indoor basketball courts.
There's also been an outcry over this tax increase, and you had an op-ed piece in the Star saying that Pima County's, you called it a modest tax increase, preserves public safety. Do you want to set the record straight again on this one for us as well?
Yeah, I think as I said in the op-ed, we're going to have to pay a little bit more less than last year for a civil society, but in fact, the overwhelming majority of property taxpayers will still be paying less tax this coming year than they did in 2007. And many of the folks who are concerned, and I think we're all concerned as we are trying to recover from the economic tsunami that was the Great Recession, that their property taxes have gone up dramatically. As we reviewed each of those who spoke at the meeting, as we reviewed their taxes, that simply wasn't accurate. Their Pima County taxes, for the most part, went down. And I think if their taxes went up, and I think in several cases they did, it wasn't the Pima County taxing districts. You know, we have over 90 taxing districts, and Pima County sends out the tax bill. So often we get brushed with the same broad stroke that the other taxing jurisdictions like fire districts and school districts. But again, as I said, for the most part, those who were concerned about Pima County taxes being sky high, in fact, since 2007, have seen their taxes decline.
All right, it's 12:15 here on the Buckmaster Show. Sharon Bronson, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, will stick around for another segment. We'll be right back on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No! They know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they'd get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate, real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
No, stop it.
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training. Because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's about 12:20 on our midweek edition. Sharon Bronson, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, is with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Barbara Brown with us, and Barbara's among those that really care a lot about animals. And animal welfare groups, Sharon Bronson, as you know, are really coalescing in this community to do what they can regarding a number of issues concerning local feral cats, the spay and neutering, getting more of our animals adopted, perhaps someday making the town really a no-kill town. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit, and I know you're a huge supporter of what's been going on at Pima Animal Control and with the bond election. Personally, I'm in favor of the bond election. I know some have said that it's going to be, you know, we're spending too much money. What is your take on this, Sharon Bronson?
Well, in the first instance, we used to be called Pima Animal Control Center. We are now Pima Animal Care Center. So I think that talks about how we've shifted our focus. And as we look at the shelter, building the new shelter, there have been some concern that the cost is way out of line. But the facts speak differently. Given what we want to accomplish at that shelter, given its age, was built in the 1950s, we definitely have to upgrade, and the costs are right in line with other shelters that perform similar services. You mentioned the spay-neuter, several other services, and we're really blessed in this community to have the animal welfare groups that are helping us because we're overcrowded now. There's no question about it. But they are taking animals, dogs, cats, and finding temporary homes or shelters for them so that they can be ultimately adopted. But, Bill, you're right. Our goal is to at some point get to a zero kill. And I think that makes both from a humane sense, that's something I certainly want to do, but look at the economics also. If we have to euthanize animals, if we have to deal with things at that level, there are additional expenses that we simply would be better off by trying to convert to a no-kill center. But obviously circumstances for each animal are different, but we really do hope over the next several years after should the bond pass, that we get to that, and I really appreciate your support. And I think that the community is pretty much with us on this, and I hope to convince those who think we're paying too much that the facts speak differently and that they review the facts before.
Well, it's very rare.
Their vote.
It's very rare for me to take a kind of a public issue on anything because I like to think of myself as Switzerland of talk radio, being very neutral on most, the vast majority of issues. And Rose knows this very well from working together with me for many, many years that just because I am saying I am in favor of this does not by any means mean that we will not hear from the other side who do not believe in it. So I want to make that perfectly clear that all voices are always welcome here on the Buckmaster Show. How are we doing, Sharon? You know, we don't hear anything about Tesla much anymore. I read in the Wall Street Journal that they have really been looking now at California and the Reno area. As the chair of the Board of Supervisors, as the representative of Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Trio, you're the board member for on Trio representing the supervisors. What are you hearing?
What we're hearing is that Tucson is still in consideration. But Tesla, obviously, is doing its due diligence, and we're hopeful. We put together a really excellent package. We're hopeful that they will still consider Tucson, and as far as we know, Tucson is still in the mix, so we'll see.
When you haven't had any kind of timetable on that?
Every time we have a timetable, it changes, and we're supposed to make a decision in December, and then it was supposed to be March, and we're July now, so Tesla is taking its time doing its due diligence, but I think that we're even in the mix and that we made it this far speaks to the package we put together and speaks to the community support as we move forward with trying to recover from the Great Recession. So well, I'm really appreciative to all our partners, including Unisource, that helped us put the packet together.
Well, and of course, I want to remind everybody, even if Tesla were to come out today with a news conference and say, we're going to be doing Tucson, Arizona's our next home, be cautious because they did a they said something similar in Albuquerque a few years ago, and everybody in New Mexico just went crazy. They were all excited. They actually did a groundbreaking, and it never came to fruition. So I guess we'll just have to really wait and see what happens with this one.
Yeah, but again, that we're in the mix, I think, is good news.
Okay. I've only got a couple of minutes left. You've been watching the gubernatorial debates that have been going on, of course, on the Republican side. Because there is a six-way primary. Do you think that the folks that are they discussing, what do you think of their, what my question is, what do you think of their knowledge of local governments?
Well, I guess I'm not going to speak in a partisan sense in this instance, but, rather wearing my county hat. And you asked exactly the right question. I think that the only candidate out there, which doesn't mean I'm endorsing, that has a sense of what local governments do is Scott Smith. So I am hopeful that discussion will get in the mix as this moves forward to the primary, which is at the end of this month, because I don't think that most of those candidates really understand local governments, the funding mix, and that is of concern not only to the county but to cities and towns across Arizona. Because, as you know, in the past, the legislature sweeps funds that are allocated to cities, towns, and counties and uses them to balance their budget. We'd love to see a governor up there who understands local government and understands the funding mechanisms. And from my view, the only one who really has that knowledge is Scott Smith.
Of course, Scott Smith is the mayor of Mesa. He's not just the mayor of Mesa. He is also the current head of the National Conference of Mayors. So you're right. He really does have a very firm grip on what's going on the local government level. But we'll see what happens, because the polling on this has been all over the block. And the last I saw, that one out of three voters, Republican voters on this, Sharon, were undecided. So it's going to be a very interesting primary.
It certainly is, and I'm just hopeful that the discussion of local government gets in the mix as the debates continue between the candidates.
Okay, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. We appreciate you spending some of your lunch hour with us. We have Barbara Brown talking about animal welfare issues. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back. Thanks.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There is no sign of a let-up in fighting between Israel and Hamas, even though Secretary of State Kerry is speaking of progress toward a ceasefire. The head of Hamas today called for the opening of Gaza's borders and the end of a blockade imposed by Israel and Egypt on the Gaza Strip more than 7 years ago. He says Hamas cannot abandon those terms in any ceasefire deal. On a day in which the first remains of the victims of last week's shootdown of a Malaysian Airlines jet over Ukraine were flown back to the Netherlands, two more aircraft have been shot down over eastern Ukraine. Rebels today hit a pair of Ukrainian fighter jets. The head of the government lab that potentially exposed workers to live anthrax has resigned. Wall Street, the Dow down about 18 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you. Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:36 on this midweek edition. Tonight, a very important meeting, a town hall about a proposed community cat program to reduce cat euthanasia is scheduled for 6 o'clock tonight. It's at the River Park Inn, 350 South Freeway. It's a two-hour event providing an opportunity for residents to learn more about a public-private partnership that's pretty darn exciting that would sterilize and vaccinate local feral cats. It's the Best Friends Animal Society initiative, basically, and we're going to talk more about that and other animal welfare issues with Barbara Brown. Barbara is Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona and a good friend of the Buckmaster Show and a fellow kindred spirit when it comes to loving animals. Good to see you, Barbara.
Hey, nice to see you.
This is a big deal, isn't it? This Best Friends Animal Society, perhaps people have heard of this group. They're out of Utah.
Yes, they are. They're out of Kanab, Utah. They are celebrating their 30th anniversary. Started as a small animal sanctuary and now is the largest sanctuary in the country, if not the world. They actually had a show on the Animal Planet called Dogtown where you could get an inside look at how they take care of the animals. They ended up with the Victory Dogs, so Michael Vick's dogs. So they're a very big deal. And as they've grown as an organization, they are working with various communities on different initiatives, including a community cat initiative. And they identified Tucson as being a really great place for them to work and make a difference. You know, we have, well, actually, we're not sure how many feral cats we have in town. I've heard numbers from 50,000 to 100,000.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of crazy. Oh. And so they identified us, but it was a very competitive process. They were actually looking at three other communities, chose us to do this effort. It's a three-year initiative. They're going to invest over $1 million in this effort. And the idea is to, over the three-year period, to trap feral cats. And actually, let's use the term that they use because I like it a lot. It's community cats. Mm-hmm. These cats that live out on their own are the communities. And we all need to respond and take care of them. And so over this three-year initiative, they anticipate that we will trap 15,000 of these free roaming cats, that they will be sterilized, and then they will be returned to where they came from.
To their outdoor homes.
Yes, to their outdoor
wherever
homes.
Wherever that might be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we do now is feral cats, people complain, feral cats get trapped. They get taken somewhere, mm-hmm. and they get euthanized. Mm. That's obviously not working. When we're looking at these numbers, that response is not working. But by sterilizing the cats, then they can't make any more babies. Then they're out there, and they die off then mm-hmm. in that zip code or that neighborhood or that area. And actually, at the same time they're being sterilized, they're also vaccinated so that then any kind of diseases or whatever are not spread. So 15,000 over this three-year period will be taken care of that way. But the side thing that's going to be really awesome about this is that they are bringing experts to us to teach us how to do this.
Okay.
And what I'd like to see, actually, is the next step, which has happened in other communities, where someone in that neighborhood kind of adopts that colony.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will feed those animals and water those animals for the time period that they are with them.
Becomes the neighborhood cat group.
Right. And as those cats diminish, mm-hmm. right, they will take care of them. And that way, then, they will not have a tendency then to go after birds and lizards and that sort of thing because they're well fed.
Okay, and that is going to be it's called Trap, Neuter, Return program.
Correct.
That will be a focus tonight, but it's also going to be a focus of a big meeting on Friday, August 1st. This is the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, something you're very much involved with, Barbara.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, at the Community Foundation, which we're the Switzerland of, you know, community initiatives. You're the Switzerland of talk shows.
It's a great team, right?
Exactly. And we're kind of the Switzerland of community initiatives, mm-hmm. where we have lots of people joined together, you know, with different points of view around an initiative. But obviously, as you've highlighted in many programs, there's really a need to focus in on the well-being of our animals that we have. And whether that's ferrets, pigs, horses, whatever, they all need to be taken care of with the goal, ultimately, of every animal finding a loving home and receiving humane treatment. So, a year and a half ago, the Community Foundation, working with the Humane Society, Pima Animal Care Center, a lot of the rescue groups, came together. Are we all on the same page? Yes, we are. So over this last period of time, we've done surveys. What do you want to work on? What do we think are the most pressing needs? At this meeting on August 1st, we are going to be hearing from our three work groups. We, after soliciting folks, three initiatives rose to the top. One was Trap, Neuter, Return.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, when we had our community meetings, got the most votes. People saw it
as
a need.
At the top of the list.
And a way to respond. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear from that working group who, with this Best Friends initiative, what they're going to do is enhance what Best Friends is going to do so that they're going to work in concert with them and either work in different areas or be the folks who recruit the people that feed or whatever is the need. We also are going to hear from the Human-Animal Bond Group. Now, that's kind of an odd title. If you think of it as social services, that, I think, is a better explanation.
Mm-hmm.
That group has really been looking at what the need is out there, and they have a sense of it. You know, we have seniors that are on Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
If they get food delivered and they have a pet, guess who eats first?
Right.
There are a lot of animals that end up at both the Humane Society and the at PAC that the person got older and either went into a rest home or passed, but their animal, because they were declining in health, their animal wasn't getting the vet care that they needed, and then often is in such bad shape that that animal can't be rehomed. And so we'd like to, you know, get in front of that and see what we can do with transportation and food. We'd also like to try to get food in the food banks, the outlying ones. We can't in the main one because of USDA rules. But we can get litter and food out at these other locations. And so we're looking at that. They're going to do a really comprehensive survey. And then we're doing a PR campaign. The third group is a PR campaign leading up to a mega adoption event April 11th.
This will be the biggest adoption event in the history of Tucson.
We anticipate that on April 11th, and it's going to be at the Tucson Expo, that we want 4,000 people to go through there. We want every rescue group represented, and what we're hoping is that people will find their new family member right there.
Everyone is invited to come out. That's 8 a.m. until noon. That will be Friday, August 1st. Where is this meeting going to be held, Barbara?
Well, it's at the Parks and Recreation Building, and we've got that up on our website, which I'd love to give you that address, and we'd love to have you RSVP for that.
Okay.
So our website is www.cfsaz.org. And if you think about that, it stands for Community Foundation Southern Arizona.org.
Very simple, but everyone is invited to come out. So there's really three pieces that will be, again, the community cats, the trap neuter program. That's number one, really, at the top of the list. This marketing campaign that will be announced at the meeting.
And see the logo for the first time.
New logo, mega adoption event. You said April 11th. The planning has already begun. And elevating the human-animal bond, I think three very worthy efforts.
We're looking for volunteers to help with those initiatives.
Okay. And again, PAW stands for Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare. The good news is we're out of time, Barbara, but at PAC, the Pima Animal Care Center, the save rate is up.
Oh, absolutely. It's up into the high 70s and the 80s.
Good news. All right, Barbara, thank you very much. Barbara Brown, back after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, and this portion presented by Silver City. And what a great place it would be for a nice cool weekend getaway as we push, what is it, 109, 110, who cares, right after 105 with humid temperatures. So head over to Silver City, 3 hours east of Tucson, the elevation anywhere from 5 to 7,000 feet. What does that translate to? Well, milder days, and cool nights in Silver City. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, and all the things to do, like hiking in the Gila Wilderness at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's a former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice, and he has taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District. He did such a wonderful job there that they actually named him Arizona's top superintendent of schools a few years back, and they named a school for him. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line Bob Hendricks. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
How was your trip to Europe?
It was good, but each time I travel, I realize what a longer journey it seems to be.
Yeah. I think that has something to do with, well, actually, a lot of things. As we age, it seems like it makes it a little bit harder, doesn't it, to do those long trips?
Well, I came back from Europe and landed in LAX, and the customs line was over 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So yeah. It's not a... it's not a happy way to come back. But it was a great trip. Thanks for asking.
Well, there's new research showing perhaps we're starting the school day a little too early, especially for economically some of the kids that really are more disadvantaged kids. It's a difficult call. We want our kids to be busy. We want them to get the day going as soon as possible and into school. But what do you make of this American Psychological Association research that shows maybe we need to take a second look at start times?
Well, I think one of the intriguing things to me about this study, which was conducted in public elementary schools in Kentucky, is that what they found is that the and this is really in contrast to many studies that say, you know, we create a program where our economically disadvantaged students don't get a fair shake. Well, in this study, the economically disadvantaged students actually seem to do better by starting school earlier. Part of it may be because of the fact that we provide a free or reduced breakfast program. We provide other activities earlier in the day. So that group of students seems to be doing better, and this study advocates that students who are having or who are economically disadvantaged should start school earlier. Now, it also reveals that students who are in the middle or upper class levels would be advantaged if they started school later. Now, what the study doesn't really indicate is what does that mean? Is it 30 minutes later? Is it 1 hour later? They're saying that that sleep deprivation seems to be an issue as they're measuring students' results on tests and in all the major academic areas, as well as attendance rates.
So
I'm not absolutely certain about that. When I look at the statistics, the data, as many of these studies suggest, you know, is really minutely different. And so I think maybe on the margins there might be a slight difference, but I'm not sure that what we do by changing the schedule is really going to make all that much difference. We know that districts always struggle with bus schedules.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to stagger the schedules so that you can get elementary, middle school, and high school students, you know, to school? No question that the high school and middle school schedules are going to take precedent because we have such a large number of co-curricular and extracurricular activities at the end of the day that we've got to get the students to school early. And many, many high schools, you know, are starting 7:30 in the morning.
Has that time been going down over the years from your experience
it
in education?
It really hasn't changed that much.
Really?
It hasn't changed. I think parents would prefer their elementary youngsters to start a little bit later, simply because, you know, it gives them a chance to be with their children and kind of organize their day. You know, the whole issue of sleep deprivation and the physical and behavioral and psychological ramifications of that, you know, are an issue. But again, Bill, I'm not sure that if we delayed the school day a half an hour, an hour, we're going to see a discernible difference. I think what we're seeing in terms of how schedules accommodate students, pretty much the way it's going to be.
We had an effort here while you were away, Bob, where door-to-door, actually the H.D. Sanchez, the superintendent of TUSD, started knocking on doors of some of the kids who have dropped out of school. He was accompanied by the mayor, Mayor Rothschild, and I think it's a terrific idea. They did this actually last week. They were going door to door, and they actually had some good results, I understand, of kids who just that extra contact, somebody coming to the door and saying, hey, maybe you should give it a second chance going back to school. And I think that's a very positive. We've got to do something about the dropout rate here.
Well, I applaud their efforts to become encouragers, and I agree with you that we need to extend that beyond the mayor and the school superintendent. We know that the closer we get to the place where students reside in a school, the more impact you're going to have. So, I would encourage school principals, teachers, counselors, members of the parental community become involved in this kind of effort too, because if you can put a face and a name on an issue, you can be much more effective in solving it. If a student knows that you care, and they know you're going to make that personal contact, and you're going to follow up with them again, and you're going to acknowledge them for making an effort, I think there's a mile of difference.
Well, and some might say it's a big PR stunt, but hey, I think it's a step in the right direction. Robert Hendricks, Dr. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. We'll look forward to talking with you next month. Thank you.
As well as mine. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Culligan, better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your business and residential water needs. We thank Culligan for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. It's a nice arrangement. Everyone enjoys it, especially those here at KVOI as well. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, Rosemary Brandt, producer, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 for our Thursday edition. And coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw is the host of a new talk show on KVOI. Then Wake Up Tucson gets the ball rolling from 6 to 8. Then Christy Simone with the Daily Double Show from 8 to 9. So we've got you covered morning, noon, and afternoon with local talk on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.